Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We're positively down here at Amici's. That is like saying that. We're Little Italy, the old ads. People still come up to me every day and they yell, "Where are you going to get schnick-schnack? Amici's." And I'm like, well, that ad was from 1997, so I know they've been listening for at least three decades. I was reading this guy's work maybe two decades ago. Sam Sessa is our defending champion, one-time Baltimore Sun music critic. We share that in common. We do. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Mark and Debbie are going to get some Raven scratch-offs here before Seth gets here as well. I'm going to give them Lucky 50 and Lucky 51 here so we get some winners. How are you? What's going on at WTMD? Last I checked, you guys are having that party down in that park. Every Thursday you do that thing. The weather, I check, and I'm like, is tonight the night? And oh, I'm like, God. It's like Yogi Berra. It's like, nobody goes there anymore because there's too many people, you know? I mean, when I lived downtown, I used to come to it all the time and be a part of it. You've built a brand with that thing, but I think more than that, the TMD brand as an NST guy, I've never felt or heard it be more vibrant than what you guys are doing right now. You know?
I appreciate that.
There's a lot of love going on over there.
This was our biggest first Thursday festival season we've ever done. We were averaging 10, 12,000 people a month this summer down there.
That's a lot of people, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
And to your point, one of the biggest complaints we get on social media is, there's too many people. I don't want to go anymore. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? The park's only so big, and it's such a beautiful spot along the water.
If you get the right weather down there, you're always on weather watch, though,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. I try not to look, because until the day before,
well, you can't
there's not much
it.
I can do,
yeah,
unless there's like a hurricane coming in. But we had have you heard of this Baltimore band? They're in the jam scene, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong.
I know. I know what a big deal they are, yes.
So we had them. They reached out to us and said, hey, can we play a first Thursday? We really want to do one.
They're a big band.
Never played one before. You know, they're a band that, like, they'll do two nights at 9:30 and sell it out, you know, both nights. And they'll do, like, big theater runs and sell them out. So, you know, one of the bigger bands to come out of Baltimore in the last 10 years, right?
And you've had some nice regional bands down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have. You had Revivalist before they were, like, yeah. I was there that night. That thing was insane.
Yeah.
It was about 155 degrees. That's the other thing, man. It's summertime. You just can't control. I mean, I always think about this with, like, being a Baltimore guy, like Preakness. Sometimes Preakness is 51 degrees and raining, and sometimes it's 112 and I got pit stains all day.
I know.
And I feel like I want to be out there in a tank top. Weather is everything. And when I think of your festival, all I think about is I cross my fingers and just say, how many you do? Six?
It used to be six. We shaved it down to four after the pandemic so we could really focus on making them as big and, like,
you got to go back
really
to, like, six, dude.
No, we don't.
No.
Dude, nobody wants that.
Hold on.
Nobody
May,
wants that
June,
at TMD.
July, August. Is
no,
that right?
It's June through September.
July, August, September.
We cut May because it kept getting rained out. Because May is always so rainy. And
well,
we
they put,
like,
that concert at the beach now with Def Leppard, so nobody, you know, I mean, nobody's going to be down there. Boardwalk at the beach.
That looks awesome.
Sam Sessa is our guest, and I like, you know, you're an Eastern Shore guy.
Yeah.
You and I have had these conversations. I don't even know your pathway to getting to the Baltimore Sun. I started seeing your bylines. You were writing about more sort of hip contemporary kind of things, and I got to know, I met you at a Springsteen show 20 years ago, I guess.
Oh my God.
Crazy how long ago this has been. But, like, you're a music guy. What exactly do you do at TMD except pimp TMD, which is what you're good at doing?
Sure. So, thanks. I was on air for 15 years, and then a couple years ago, I started doing, like, 7 or 8 years ago, I started doing more events for TMD. And then when YPR bought WTMD 3 years ago, they were like, do you want to do events for both radio stations and not be on air anymore? And I was like, yes, please, because I don't know how you do this, Nestor, but doing one thing for a long period of time, it just makes me stir crazy. It makes me nuts.
I stopped doing this. I retired in 2005 from doing it. I did it every day for 14 years.
Which is a
calls.
Long time.
Yeah, and then I took a break, and I wanted to, you know, manage the business, which I did. And then my wife got cancer in 14, and
right.
I've been back on 11 years. My wife would tell you I'm enjoying this. And even just, like, literally – reaching to friends like you,
sure,
that haven't been on. I Zoom with you during the plague, whatever. The beauty of the Crab Cake Tour, even when there's not a crab cake today, is I got 9 or 10 friends coming down for the holidays, doing it, you know, mano a mano, having a grown-up grape soda, if I wish, with Jody down here at Amici's. But there is a point where, like, you have to love what you do, and I would not love being – I know the fans, fans at the Fan would find hard to – I wouldn't enjoy working for Odyssey and being on Afternoon Drive and taking phone calls and doing 5 days this week of nothing but Steelers Ravens for four right. hours a day
right.
and being limited and saying, I'm not allowed to talk about concerts or the government or Donald Trump or meatballs or whatever I want, eggnog, whatever I feel like talking about. So owning the place has been a great benefit to me to do what I want to do. But moving around and every day I'm doing something different. But this is tough work.
I know.
And I didn't realize – in the 90s when I did it, I'm like, this is easy compared to writing a story on a deadline, which I was sure. familiar with at the paper, right?
Sure.
This was more like a different kind of deadline with traffic and clocks and stuff in radio that I had to deal with. But the notion that I would get tired every day of talking about the Ravens, you couldn't have convinced me of that when I was 35.
Okay.
Right, like, you know, it'd be like saying if I don't know. I think you can get tired of anything. I mean, I can only lay on the beach 5 or 6 days in a row. I love the beach.
Sure, sure.
But
sure.
then that's enough for me. What did you – you did a different – you were a jock, right? I mean, you spoke in and played songs, right? You didn't do talk radio, right?
No. So, right. I was a host of a show that was all about Baltimore music and right. Maryland music and interviewing those bands and all.
So you did have an interviewing part of it, though.
Yeah, I did.
But you don't miss that part. You still get to do some of that, right?
I do, but here's the thing. Like, that was always my favorite part. My least favorite part was the part where you have to, like, process it and put it on the air, you know, editing. Like, when you're,
oh, nobody
when
you're wants writing. To edit. I ain't so, editing like, this. Don't drop an F-bomb here because I'm not so, editing. I don't edit.
So when you...
I know better.
When you were a writer, because we were both writers, my favorite part was always talking to people, seeing the show. My least favorite part was saying, okay, now I got to sit down and actually distill all this into an article.
Really?
That was my least favorite part of the whole thing.
You have writer's reluctance?
Yes, writer's reluctance.
What?
I did.
You're not a writer.
I was a writer because I did it, but it wasn't my favorite part of it. And I'll tell you one more thing.
I mean, I could see where, like, being a cook in the kitchen and being Anthony Bourdain, making the same dishes every day, like, there is a mundane part of that, but there's a beauty in that.
Sure,
right?
There is. But here's the thing. Like, so when I was the nightlife, I was covering music, nightlife, and sometimes food, right, for The Sun. And, I mean, I did the takeout food column on the side for 3 or 4 years. And, Nestor, there's only so many words to describe a burger, like, out there. And I just couldn't do it for more than 4 or 5 years because I was just like, oh, my God, what is it? Is it juicy? Is it dry? Is it, you know, hamburger-licious?
I don't know, man. Every time, like, I go to Ekeben, I come up with a new, you know, new adjective for, like,
But. Okay, but one more thing. 10% of the things are really good, 10 are really bad, and then there's 80% which are just good, right? And that's the part that would always drive me nuts.
It was very satisfying.
You get excited about writing about the best places and the worst places. But everything that's in between is like, okay, it was a good show. It was a good album. It was a good dinner. You know, it was fine.
Well, I mean, I guess that's where, like, variety becomes the spice of life as you get older. There's no question for me. I mean, I've been thinking about this through the holidays and planning in 2025, and I have this idea for this app that we're going to do at Baltimore Positive next year that I've been working on my business aside from all this. And really, like, looking through, this time of year I get nostalgic. And bringing people sure. like you over and talking about shows and people I met and places I was and all that. For you guys at TMD and YPR, give my audience, and quite frankly me, because I don't know the answer to this question, give me the whole, like, lowdown of the business and what it is. I knew Tony Brandon at YPR for sure. a long time. I've kind of known him for 30 years, right? And I know of both of the entities. When Jim Ward, who's the person that put me on the radio, worked at YPR nice. Years later, he's the first guy to call me Nasty Nestor. He's the guy that sat with me in his office, rubbing his feet in his office. He's like, if you call yourself Nasty Nestor, you better damn well be nasty. This is 1992. This is when I left the paper. But for me, with what they used to be and this quasi thing that I wouldn't work there as a salesman because I couldn't sell like I sell advertising.
It's different.
Because it's different, right? Yeah. And it's governmental. And the YPR part of the talk format, I'm doing much more of a Rogan Stern, sweaty balls kind of, you know,
sure.
format. But YPR is that. And TMD was always like a college music station where Adele yeah. would come and hang out before she was anybody, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, there's an incredible history to both of those WYPR, WTMD, even WNST or WBAL, they all have their own little thing. But trying to figure out what you are in a modern world where you have different restrictions governmentally than I do.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're nonprofits.
Nonprofit, yes. Okay, so start with that.
Okay, so, well, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the nuts and bolts of it, but we don't have advertising. We have underwriting. So we can't tell people what to do. So we can't say, go to Amici's and buy the new whatnot.
Okay.
But we can say Amici's has been serving fresh Italian food in Little Italy for 40 years.
Right. You know, I'm 56 years old and I'm learning about this. Okay,
so that's
I got
the difference.
It. Okay, all
no
right.
Calls to action. That's what it's called. You can't call somebody to action on the radio in the same way that you can on, let's say, WNST or
God, know. I couldn't do that. Can you make recommendations? Can you say I had the best cheeseburger ever last night?
As
you
the host,
to do that?
I can, but not advertising.
But that's payola.
Yes.
You're right. I've read about that. I've signed
so
forms
that's
with the FCC about that. Yes.
But, yeah. So, you know, but what I love about public radio, because YPR and TMD are both they're like the two main public radio stations.
Yeah, sure.
Is there's a bit more freedom and a bit more flexibility to go out and try new weird stuff. So, like, in my role, they're like, what do you want to do in 25? And I'm like, well, what about this? And how about that? And they're like, well, okay, well, let's try it.
Well, where did the concert thing come from, the first Thursday thing? Because it's such a big thing. I don't remember the genesis of it. I lived down at the harbor for 19 years. I can't say that I ever thought about it much, maybe before, like, 9, 10, 11. That revivalist night, whatever that was,
yeah.
I was at that show. I had heard about it for a little while, and some buddies went over, and it was like a million people there. Reminded me a little bit of Preakness or like something that like would be at the zoo, like a Boo Zoo, Brew at the
yeah,
Zoo
yeah, yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But that festival idea and that park, I mean, that park, by the way, and I don't know if you know this, Ed Hale is the reason for that park. Do you know about that?
No.
Ed Hale has told me this story many times, on the air maybe not, but definitely off the air because Ed and I have been friends. Ed went down when he first had some money, first got, you know, business of Port East and what he was doing over there.
Yeah.
And he stood in that park and could see Fort McHenry.
Right. Right.
And he's like, well, they should never develop. You know, like this was his baby.
Oh, that's
cool.
That
he's like, that park looks at Fort McHenry. That, you know, that's the most beautiful piece of land. Like he went, and you should talk to Ed. Have Ed on. Maybe
that's
and talk
point.
To him about that
yeah.
next year because that piece of land there, Ed is a big part in that. And as to why it's a park and what it gets used for the other 361 days of the year or two in a leap year, I don't really. I've parked at that park and I've maybe walk through there holding hands with my wife once or twice across some dew burns or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And you could get crab. There was a crab deck there when Ed built all of that stuff, but that park is like your park now, right? Like
yeah.
Most people that have been to that park have experienced your thing in that park.
Sure. So First Thursdays, when WTMD came on air in 2003, it was First Thursdays was a concert series run by City Paper
okay.
in Mount Vernon.
Okay.
And they got tired of dealing with the old women that deal with the grass on the Mount Vernon Park, you know, which was a handful.
Oh,
the
wow.
preservationists.
Jen Marsh would know all about
she
this.
She would. So,
okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
you ask her, she'll tell you all that stuff.
Smaltimore, Sam Sessa.
So they were like, do you want this? Do you want to take this concert series? A couple hundred people once a month in the summertime.
Was it like jazz or was it pop or what just
yes.
Okay.
And so TMD took it over and they said, okay, well, let's keep it as a kind of a picnic in the park, get Brewer's Art to come bring some beer down. And it was like 400 or 500 people for a few years there in like the aughts.
Okay.
And then we had a new program director come in and he was like, I'm going to book some big bands in here. We're going to get some like real legit bands coming through. And he did and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and then uncomfortable. And kind of unsafe. We had like a couple thousand people coming into that little square on Mount Vernon Place.
Wow.
Streets are shut down. People are kind of getting a little bit more squeezed.
It's a little hilly there, yeah.
And then the earthquake hit. Do you remember the earthquake? Like 2012
I just want to take a moment to talk about the earthquake. Because I was 3 mornings ago, ever since Nacho Mamas went,
yeah.
you know, like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finn was on my show. I did the show at Mamas last month on the half shell up in Foundry Row. Up in Owings Mills. So the first thing is the Ursay dummies are in both the Nacho Mamas. So I hit Finn. I'm like, can I get the Ursay dummies back and give them back to Rasig? Because they're his dummies, you know? And I was with him at Coco's 2 weeks ago. And Nacho Mamas the other day, I was really, I told you, I get wistful this time of year.
Yeah.
And I got a little emotional. I saw a picture of me and Scunny. He was dressed as Elvis, sort of fat Elvis. It was great. Scunny, I loved you. And I remembered, like, I thought about Nacho Mama's was the place, and I've told this story this week. My wife and I got engaged on Federal Hill on a cold night in April of 2003.
Nice.
She was stunned, shocked. I didn't tell anybody but Pete Carinji that I was going to propose to her. I had been dating her 3 months. Down on a knee, right by the cannon, right at the top where the Baltimore's best bench is.
Yeah.
And at that moment, we had cell phones. We weren't texting yet. It wasn't text culture. It was still call. I said, why don't I not call my mother or son, you not call your mother or father, and let's just go and get a beer, and we'll call them later. We'll go home. We'll call them from the house. And we went to Nacho Mama's.
Nice.
And we had Scunny was the first human that I told I'm engaged to this woman.
Aww.
Right? So, and we did it in the second booth at Nacho Mama's in Canton. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a pretty monumental thing, like to go, you know, like in your life that you would tell somebody that that's where I would be. And I thought, I'm going to Nacho Mama's this week with Finn, and I'm going to have a hubcap, and I'm going to do all that. And I thought, what else did I ever do at Nacho Mama's? And I think the night that Scunny threw a guy out who was trying to pick a fight with me, mm-hmm. and Scunny just like grabbed him and said, "The F," like Scunny threw a dude out onto the square who Thanks. Was not just starting to fight with me, starting to fight with everybody. So I'm thinking all these moments and Journey After 10 o'clock and, you know, all the times I went there and dates I had and all that. And I think to myself, that's where I was when the earthquake
You
happened.
Were at Nacho Mama's. Okay. Could you feel anything in the restaurant at the time?
I was actually at the cruise lady on the corner.
Okay.
Okay. All so right. The cruise lady's from my neighborhood. So I was with her and we were on the corner building. I ran to Nacho Mama's for to make sure everybody was alive.
Yeah.
I had a beer there.
I was going to say. Well,
like,
yeah,
I had a, no, I had a beer. Like, yeah.
Hands were shaking.
People
a bit.
Were in yeah. the square crying. There were girls that came running out of their house in their pajamas, crying on the streets. I mean, it was crazy. But that earthquake, when it happened, the beams in the cruise lady, they started moving. And I saw the wood move like a piano keyboard.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm not, no, and it was this sound of steel that sounded like teeth grinding, but as loud as you could possibly, it was in a row house.
Sounded like it was trying to eat you.
So that's where I was. It was, you know, 2 in the afternoon, right? And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
On a summer day, as I was, maybe it was in May. It was a nice day. It was beautiful outside. And I ran into Nacho Mama's, and I'm like, are we still here? And Scunny and I touched nubs, because he was missing a finger. We did nubs. And so, I was at Nacho Mama's during the earthquake. So, okay, back to the earthquake. So what happened with the earthquake? So the earthquake happened, and that changed your thing.
It damaged the Washington Monument, which is in the park where we did the festival
Holy
first
hell.
Thursdays.
Yeah.
And so the city was like, can't really do it here. We're going to have construction for we don't know how long.
You got to find a new space.
So we looked around, and we landed on Canton Waterfront Park.
What had ever been done there? Had there ever been a festival there?
No, there were some city festivals there. And there was, like, I think in the years since, there's been, like, you know, a wine festival
or a flea market
festival.
You know what? There was a beer festival there.
Yeah.
Joe Gold did a beer festival there many years ago.
Yeah.
He did a Charm City beer. He did do a thing there. So I remember that.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's an underutilized space. Can I say that? Is that fair to say that?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have brought it to life, which is why I want to give you love. And Ed Hale saw it. And it's still a park. And it's not a building. And, and it's, I would think it's a sacred space now for your business. Babies were made there. Couples met there. People get married. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, it really, really is. And I don't have a thing at NST. I'm just me. But like doing road trips and tailgates and my barn shows and the crab cake, like it's what keeps a brand together. And you've got, I mean, a sensation, not just a little not a double off the wall. I mean, you hit four grand slams, and I'm saying do six, and you're like, no, four's plenty, man. It's like too much room. What goes into that and the evolution of that? Because I think that's just a great part of what you do. And then we're going to talk about your format a little bit, too.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like a small army of people that we need, people that we hire, volunteers.
And it's not what you do. You're a radio station.
Right.
And you're not an events company, right?
Probably 100 vendors that come now at this point for each one of them. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. It takes probably 6 months to get all the paperwork and planning together to do. See, no one told
And then the
me
weather
this.
Has to hold up.
Exactly. No one told me this when I got into events, that events are 99% emails and phone calls and 1% event. You know, it's all the run-up work.
It's a wedding. You spent 6 years planning it and 3 hours to do it.
Exactly. That's what
it
is.
Yeah.
I don't get to really enjoy the events because I'm running around, you know, putting out fires and stuff.
The night that Pigeons played, I text you and I'm thinking, and I probably can look at my text, probably sent you some jackass thing like, hey, man, are there a lot of people there? Is there going to be room for me? You know, because I did think, like, am I going to have to park in Upper Fells Point? You know, there's a little part of that. Hey, my dudes are playing Saturday at Soundstage, Charm City Devils and my guys, Child's Play. John Allen's one of my best friends in the world, and they're playing Saturday night, and one of my other dear friends, Brian Poole, hit me. He's like, hey, dude, you want to go see John's band Saturday night? I'm like, well, the Ravens game ends at 7:45. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 68,000 people downtown. It's a holiday Saturday to begin with, so there's Christmas parties. There's all that going on. I'm like, I don't know that I can utilize the space. I don't know that I'm physically going to be able to get in and out of downtown on Saturday night at 8 o'clock at night.
That's a great
and
point.
I feel that way about Canton on one of your nights when things is getting crazy down there.
There's a great story from George Carlin. Somebody asked him, when did you know that you'd made it as a performer? I don't know if you heard this, but he's like, it was the time I was going to a show, my show, and I was late because I was stuck in the traffic to get to my show.
Oh,
he was
right.
Like, I created a traffic jam, and then I got stuck in it. He's like, that's when I realized, oh, this is because of me.
I'm a big deal.
But I have gotten, you know, I've had to leave occasionally, which I can't do anymore, but there were years where I would go out to get something, a guitar string, because somebody broke one, or, you know, whatever else. And it would
you can't get back
45 minutes to get back, you know, because there's just so much traffic in and out. But, you know, it's
like me trying to get an Uber at a concert after in an urban. Right. It's crazy. You know, you're just not doing
it. You got to walk five
Make
blocks
another
or
plan,
something.
Dude. Just do another plan.
Right.
Well, what do you got? Have you given the schedule or not? Any hints?
We're working on the headliners. We won't announce it probably
Stones,
until
Stones, U2.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But, you know, I will tell you one thing. One of the reasons why we know this is one of our biggest seasons ever this year is because alcohol sales are down all across, you know, the industry, right? 15-20%. Bars will tell you that, restaurants, and it's because
of weed.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. In part, it's because of that. And
thank
also,
you, Curio Wellness,
like,
we love you.
Young people don't want to drink as much alcohol. There's a perception of it as being, this is a toxin. You know, we don't want to put this in our body. There's a whole new, like, mindset around alcohol among young people, right?
Okay.
And so I say all this to say.
See, I would say, which is a shame, that's my punchline, but, you know, not such a bad, but both my parents were alcoholics, so I got you, you know?
Well, sure. So,
Says the guy with three bottles of Malbec in his back seat from Drug City last night. Go ahead.
Oh, love that spot.
Yeah.
But I say all this to say our alcohol sales were up year over year this year, which means you have to have that many percent more people drinking.
It just means they're thirsty over in Canton on a summer night.
I mean, it's hot.
I wouldn't have come down without drinking more beer, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't come down there to not be thirsty. Sam Sess is here. He is WTMD. And that meant Towson, Maryland, or am I wrong in saying that?
No,
right?
It didn't. Oh,
no,
don't
it
ask
didn't.
Me this on air. It didn't mean Towson,
really?
Maryland. It meant something else, and we changed it to
Did
Total Music
wrong?
Discovery. Everybody thinks it's we thought it was Towson, Maryland forever, but it turns out it wasn't. It was something
See, I
else.
Was WNST, little known story. People ask me the history of my little thing. When I bought it, it was WKDB, Kids Broadcasting. KDB.
It was?
WKDB. Before that was WTOW.
Okay.
So WTOW was, you know, I screwed this up, and I knew the folks that had Soros's Tavern in Towson, right on the square.
Yeah.
And the folks that had it at the last time it was Soros's before it became the liquor store, they had a clock. It was a circle. Old 1950s faded clock that had WTOW AM 1570. If anybody has that clock, a TMD or YPR, $100 I get. I give you free lottery. I can't do that. I'll give you a Mii cheese. I'll do something. But I saw that there, and I think these old call letters, people come to me and they're like, what was NST? Because it's been NST since 1998 now, 26 years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
So people, but it was WTOW. And when these licenses were given out in the 40s and 50s, and my tower was built in the 50s, and WLIFs on the backside of my tower in Towson, they were given out for the AM radio dial. There was no FM, right? Philco, you had 5, 6, 9, 10, and you had the little buttons.
The buttons,
and, yeah. And the little, like, in the old cars. My dad's Torino in 1973. And they were community-based, public. There was no internet. There was television, radio, and newspapers were privately owned. It's the only way the federal government, if the Germans were bombing us or the Japanese were bombing us, it was public radio, right? And serving the public. But they were all like WTOW, WHAG in Hagerstown, WSAL in Salt, WBAL in Baltimore, WMAR in Maryland, right?
Right,
I don't know what the hell Jay-Z was for. But I thought TMD was Towson for some reason.
Because
I was the other Towson.
It turns out it was something else. I forget what it was. Maybe it was like Towson Media Department or something like that because it was the college station for a while. Don't quote me on that, but it was something like that. I can tell you WYPRs is your public radio.
Your public radio.
Because it's owned by the community. It's not owned by a college or something else.
Well, the PBS stations were kind of like that too. Like they had a DCA kind of thing for in DC or
sure.
Yeah, Sam Sess is here. He's doing things over TMD. So do you have your dates together? Do you want to promote anything ahead of time? Don't do what the Orioles do. Spend the whole offseason not doing anything. to promote something here for me. So
sure, I will maybe promote.
They are first Thursday, so we know the dates, right?
So yeah. One of the other things that we do, and this is for all my parents of young kids out there, we've talked about this in the past a little bit. So we have this family-friendly concert series called Saturday Morning Tunes. We launched it in 2017.
You and I did a piece with Jimmy's Chicken Shack.
Yes, we did.
And you did like a Grateful Dead thing. Did you do a Dead thing? I had you were doing the lyric, right? Meyerhoff.
Something like that.
Keep going. Okay, but you've been doing this.
So yeah, we've been doing it, and we've had since 2017. We're going to hit this year 30,000 parents and kids that have come to this series over the course of the last 7 years.
That's amazing.
Well, less because of the pandemic, we took off. One of the shows that we do. That was a big hit this year was Taylor Swift for kids, which is basically like we got one of the best.
It's a dance party.
It's a dance party with one of the best bands in town, like, you know, doing all Taylor Swift songs. And we sold out the record twice in a day. And it was all these like 6 to 12 year old girls just like packed all up against the stage.
Sounds great.
And they're reaching up for her as if it's actually Taylor. And she does a meet and greet after the show. It's an hour just to get your picture taken with this person who's not even Taylor Swift, but they love it so much.
I only got to meet Captain Chesapeake when I was that age, you know?
Right.
I didn't get to meet.
Also a celeb.
Oh, my. There's no bigger celeb than Captain C.
He's on TV.
So long, crew members. John Maroon's going to be our next guest here. Sam Sess is doing great stuff. Always. The last time I saw you was during the plague. You were on the pirate ship in the harbor.
Yeah.
Rocking out on a Saturday night. You wouldn't let me on. You squirted at me. You know, everybody was calling me a wench, or my wife was a wench, I think, yelling at me as from the harbor. But you guys do some fun events. I don't know where your brainstorming is and all this stuff. I used to be fun. Back last
You're
century.
Still fun.
I
You're
used to be fun. But you guys are fun. You do fun things.
Can I plug one more thing? Can I please?
That's why we're here.
Okay, cool. So our
that
next,
and the meatballs.
Our next Saturday Morning Tunes is this show we've been doing for like almost 10 years, or almost the whole run of the show. It's called Frozen. It's the Frozen 1 and 2 stage show. And basically what it is these two classically trained opera singers in this Baltimore band Outcalls. And they sing all the songs from Frozen, and they do a play that kind of makes fun of Frozen, because Frozen's kind of ridiculous if you're a parent and you have to suffer through these movies where they dress up. You know.
Well, that's why the 6 to 10-year-old girl thing, like, it sounds like fun except for the entertainment part of it.
So, but the thing is, I want these shows to be enjoyable for the parents as much as it is for the kids, which is why we did Jimmy's Chicken Shack. They just did a normal show in the morning. I mean, you could take your kids and say, check out this band. I love this band. And so for Taylor Swift, it was like, oh, I love Taylor Swift. Let me bring my daughter. Let's hang
I
out.
I like Taylor Swift.
Music,
I can hang out with that. That'd be better
and
for me.
For Frozen, it's more. That is a little bit more for the kids, but they have a lot of jokes about how bad the Frozen movies are during the show. And we're doing that up at the Carver Center on January 25th.
So it's like a good cartoon that you go take your kids, but the jokes are really for the adults and the kids don't get it.
A Pixar movie, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't go to the movies too much, but I know what you mean by that.
So that's the idea. And it's a lot of fun. And all the kids get dressed up as the princesses, and we do a meet and greet. It's a lot.
You're like a parent now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my kids are almost out of this demo. They're 10 and 11 now.
Yeah, they're getting, like, I think of you as a parent of little kids these days, and I think it's changed you, Sam. I don't see you at Springsteen concerts anymore. So what's your music jam these days? Do you have anything on the calendar? I'm going to go see the Black Crowes on Thursday night this week.
Oh, fun. Where?
They're playing the MGM. I almost went 2 weeks ago. Don't laugh at me. I'm a big Engelbert Humperdinck fan.
Whoa.
And he played up in Carteret, New Jersey. Okay. I think Maroon knows where Carteret is. He even knows how to pronounce it. He knows what exit it is, too. And the Smithereens were playing the next night in Carteret, and they're my buddies. So I was going to go up for the weekend. Here's my deal. When New York's 28 degrees, I can't hang in New York. So therefore, I didn't do the whole trip because I just, like, it was cold.
Yeah.
And Engelbert's 88.
I was going to say, how's he still alive?
He's 88. And you can Google Engelbert, go up to YouTube right now, and you will. He still sings.
Wow.
It's still entertaining. It's not like Frankie Valli where the lips are moving. No. None of that. He's singing. He's talking. He still does all of his jokes and has his drink, and he have a king chair for him now. And he does perform a little bit sitting down.
Fine.
He's 88.
Yeah.
Please release me. Let me. So I almost went, but I didn't. And I'm going to regret the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Because he's 88.
Might be your last time.
One of my regrets is Lou Rawls played over at Turf Valley at the end of his life, and he was doing a Sinatra turn.
Oh, wow.
He was doing, you know, You'll Never Find.
Yeah.
But he was also doing, like, Sinatra stuff, and I didn't go. So I had a chance to see Bob Newhart. I didn't go. I had a chance to see Don Rickles.
Oh, see that one. I would have. Oh, yeah.
I didn't go
for that one.
So my wife and I are still. I mean, I did see the great Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett did my show one time. So
no way. That's
yeah,
awesome.
He did. So like these elder statesmen, when I get a chance to see it, I go to the internet and say, I said to my wife that week, I'm like, Engelbert's playing, and she said to me, "Is he still alive?" Same thing you said, and I said, "Yes." I kind of want to go, I call it commando, which means like I'm not going to look at the video. I'm just going to throw the $40 at it, go up to Jersey, see the show.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. When there's a band involved, no matter what the band is, any metal band, any band, because they're all over 50 years of age, and I'm over 50 and I'm falling apart, I want to see like how it feels and looks before I spend money and my time and go do it.
Sure.
Right? I wasn't going to do it with Engelbert. And I did it about 3 days before the show, and I went on, and it was good enough. It was good for 88. It was fine. And I said to my wife, I want to do this. But we are getting to the point now where a lot of the bands, and I'm wearing my Tom Petty belt buckle today.
Oh,
my
nice.
Heartbreak belt buckle. I can't see them anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So when I see these bands that I can't see anymore or will never see anymore, or it's their last tour, or quite frankly, it's like Iron Maiden and it's just too damn loud for me to do anymore.
Sure.
It's just I don't like Maiden like that 40 years later enough to go and deal with it. I have gotten picky with concerts and my bar has been raised that it needs to be a really good experience for me. I can't endure a bad concert. I can't endure Axl Rose not knowing how to sing anymore.
Yeah.
So like, I see less concerts, but I think about more concerts now because I'm going to less. And when I try to, like, is that going to be a great night? Here's the thing with the Engelbert weekend. Engelbert Smithereens, and you know I love you guys. My wife and I, Jersey Turnpike, parking, tolls, gas, two nights in Jersey, two nights. It started to look like an $800 or $900 kind of couple days in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's going to be 28 degrees? No, I'm going to wait for – so weather dictates – like your event, whatever. Where are you with concerts? Because you're a generation behind me. You're a little younger than me. You got kids and like all that. You're talking about all these kiddie concerts. Music was your jam.
Sure.
You and I both were music critics.
Yeah.
Do you go a lot or do you like, no?
Not as much as I used to for a couple reasons. So doing events, I don't get as many opportunities. If I'm like super candid here. So I'm married. I've got young kids.
Yeah.
If I'm working on a Friday night and a Saturday night, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to go out again.
On a Sunday night and pay money and go to drive somewhere and do a show.
Be there with my kids.
I miss
a
lot of concerts I would go to. Duran Duran was $15.
Oh,
it was a Monday night. My wife was away. And I just, At 7 o'clock, I just decided I don't feel like it right now.
Yeah.
For 8 months, I was going. I mean, I was, right? Like, literally.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, at 6:45, my cat was there. My energy level, I'd done radio all day. The Ravens played. And I just didn't go. I don't regret it. But, like, I would have run into friends. It would have been a night. You know
sure.
what I mean? And that's what I regret, is when I don't do these things, I don't get to see my friends. I don't get to just randomly run into people I would accidentally and serendipitously
sure.
bump into. And that's the opportunity cost for me.
Sure.
But there are so many shows I look at and just, like, that Duran Duran are like, did you go? Yeah, no, I was going to, and I didn't. You
okay,
know?
Can I tell you real quick about two shows that I saw in the last year?
Sure, give me really good reviews.
Okay, all right, so I saw Pearl Jam. At CFG.
Unbelievable. I was here.
Which, yeah. I mean, just incredible show.
It was great.
Trolling Ted Nugent. That was fun. Like,
well, the Amon wearing a Baltimore Bullets jersey.
Yes.
And the orange Baltimore Bullets. You look great.
Did their homework. You know, like.
I loved it.
Yeah, fantastic. And a small venue for them. Like, on this tour, like.
No skyboxes. That makes it intimate. Yes.
Yeah. But then last year, I saw for the first time the Mariah Carey Christmas tour, the holiday tour. Right? I got good seats for this. And my wife was like, what are you doing? And I was like, trust
me on this one. I almost
went
last week.
So I went, right? And, you know, the DJ before, great. Gets everybody super hyped. It's all basically people our age.
Right.
Right? And she comes out. She does her thing. And about halfway through the show, she goes, in one of the only unscripted moments of the night, she's like, I'm so glad this tour is almost over. It's like the last couple nights. And I'm like, that's kind of insulting. And she's like, I don't know what your favorite thing to do at Christmas time is, but my favorite thing is to go on a real sleigh ride with horses. But you know what? We always forget the soft blankets. We always bring these scratchy blankets. And then she turns off stage and she goes, Stephanie, the blankets, the soft blankets this year for the sleigh ride. Okay, where were we? And everyone was just like, it was ridiculous.
Well, I saw her the first night of the tour lip syncing.
Was she really?
Yeah, like it was a month ago, and the songs were coming out, but she wasn't like, there's no way she was singing.
She was
right?
singing what I saw.
Right.
But by that was near the end of the tour.
Right.
So I don't know.
This was like 2 weeks ago. This was like a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Mariah Carey, so, you know, I that's a thing for me, though. When people don't sing, it really bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a performance. It's not a concert.
Unless you go into it knowing. Like, I had to review Britney Spears years ago, and that was the thing. Like, it was a circus tour, so it was a production, you know, and
Well, Madonna's like that, Janet. If you're moving around that much, it's like...
And if there's, like, you know,
it's amazing with Timberlake
and
these guys. Usher, and yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Oh, Sam Sessa, I love you, man. Be good.
Hey, thanks
all
for
right?
the invite, man.
Take care
man.
Of the kids. I'm going to get him, for being our guest, he's going to get meatballs and a Raven scratch-off to go, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. We are not underwritten here. We are sponsored. And you should come down and eat the meatballs. You should eat the calamari. You get the red sauce. Get the gravy down here. We're the meat cheese. It's the only crab cake tour I've ever done without a crab cake, and I've lost control of the show. It's a Pane Rotondo. It's just as good as a crab cake.
I was going to get a salad, but maybe I should get the meatballs.
You want to get...
Should I get the meatballs?
Here's what you do in a meat cheese. You get the garlic cheese toast, okay, so that's, and then you get the side of the meatballs,
okay.
And you make it into like a little bit of a meatball sandwich
okay.
with the cheese.
Okay.
It'll change your life.
I will
do
try
that.
It.
Get two appetizers when you're here. Get the meatballs and get the garlic cheese bread in your set. John Maroon is going to be our next guest. He came early. I'm making him stay late. Seth Elkin's going to be here from the Maryland Lottery. Alan McCallum is going to be here a little later on. And Chris Corman, who is the sports editor of the Baltimore Banner. I'm trying to be nice to him so I can get a gig later on.
Great guy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice to him. We're at a meat cheese. We're eating meatballs. We have friends here. It's the holidays. The place looks beautiful. They have the Oreo countdown, the 99 days to opening day, and they will have the full American League East standings here, except when the Yankees are in first place because they don't allow that here. I am Nestor. We are WNST. He is WTMD, WYPR. They're First Thursdays. Support them. They're local, even though you can't give them money. Give me the money. I'll take it. Back for more. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.